Thank you so much, Ivy. We appreciate you sharing those thoughts with us. And I want to encourage you, as Dave has already mentioned, we do support this work of the Gideon Ministry. And in your bulletin today, there's a bulletin insert that tells about how you can be more involved with the Gideon Ministry. You're welcome to give through Shannon Hills Bible Chapel and mark that for the Gideons if you'd like to give direct to them. Or again, as he said, use the cards to share the scriptures. And we want to encourage you to keep getting the word of God out, however he leads you to do it. And he may lead you to do it through the Gideons. Maybe he'd like you to be a Gideon. Our brother Babe Wilhoyd, who went to be with the Lord earlier this year, was a Gideon and served in that ministry. Maybe the Lord would have some of the brothers here to be raised up to be involved in that ministry. And I'm sure Ivy would love to talk with you about that. Speaking of God's Word, I'm going to ask you to go to the book of Ephesians in the Word of God. And we're going to continue our study that we've been doing. We've been looking at the nation of Israel. We followed them all the way from the very beginning of the book of Exodus all the way to the beginning of the book of Joshua. And they've gone from Egypt through the wilderness and now to the promised land. And we are considering from the New Testament, the book of Ephesians. We've been looking through that book as we see a parallel to what God did with the nation of Israel. In the book of Joshua, we find many of the same truths for our day here in the book of Ephesians. And in chapters 1 through 3, we saw some of those innumerable blessings that chapter 1 and verse 3 of Ephesians tells us that we're blessed with. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. But we've also seen, as the nation of Israel, they got to the promised land and God said, I've given you this, and yet now you've got to go in and possess it. And we find the same is true for us. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. But he tells us, believer in the Lord Jesus, you've got to go in and you've got to appropriate that in your own life. It's yours, but if you want to enjoy it, then you need to take possession of that. And we find, as the Israelites faced enemies in doing that, those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we face enemies in seeking to appropriate the blessings that God has given to us. Our own flesh is against us because it wants to be satisfied. It doesn't want what God wants for us. It wants what we want. This world in which we live, it focuses us on the temporary things, even the material blessings of this life, rather than the spiritual blessings. And of course, the devil himself is behind it all, trying to keep us from enjoying what God wants us to appropriate and be blessed with in our lives. So chapters 4 through 6 of Ephesians, we've been seeing how we can practically do that. And we're now down into chapter 5. And in chapter 5, we've seen that our walk, our lifestyle, if we're going to enjoy the things of God with which he's blessed us, we've got to walk, first of all, in love, verses 1 and 2. The key there is selflessness. And then in verses 3 to 14, we've got to walk in light, walk as children of light, the key word being separation. And now in verses 15 to 21, we see that we're to walk circumspectly or carefully, walk in wisdom. And the key word there is sensitivity. And that's what we're looking at, a sensitivity to the Lord in our lives as we walk. We've already seen in verse 16 that we need wisdom in selecting the best investment for our walk. Look at verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Buying up every opportunity. How are you investing your life? That's going to have an impact on the blessings that you enjoy spiritually from the Lord. In verse 17, we need wisdom in selecting the best intention of our walk. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The Lord has an intention for your life. And as you seek to focus your life in the direction that God has for you, you are going to more greatly enjoy the spiritual blessings that are rightly your possession. And then thirdly, we began on this last time we looked at this passage. In verses 18 to 20, we need a wisdom in selecting the best influence on our walk. The best influence. Read with me there, verse 18 through 20. And be not, or through 21 actually, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Walking carefully. We've used the illustration of walking through a landmine or walking through a field that you know has landmines in it. How do you walk through that? Carefully. You watch each step. And so as we walk in our lives, our walk being our lifestyle, our walk should be characterized by a wisdom, a sensitivity to the Lord in selecting the best influence on our lives. What is it that's going to most greatly influence us, affect us, direct us? You know, it's graduation time here in Guilford County. A lot of graduations yesterday and probably today. A lot of graduations from colleges during this past month. You know, all of these graduates, if they stop and think, they look back and say, what influenced me to get to where I am today? Well, as believers in the Lord Jesus, we need to stop and say, what is influencing my life? We notice there in verse 18, we have a contrast. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Be controlled with the Spirit. The illustration is used there of someone who takes in an alcoholic beverage, specifically wine here, but any alcoholic beverage. And as that individual takes that beverage into his or her body, that beverage goes through the mouth, down the throat, into the stomach, into the bloodstream, and very soon begins to influence the way that that individual walks, the way that that individual talks, the perception that that individual has of the surroundings in his environment, her environment. Here's the contrast, Paul says, by the Spirit of God. You don't do that as one who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. That's inappropriate. That's walking in the darkness, as we've already seen. That's not walking sacrificially in love as the Lord Jesus did, as we've already seen. That's foolishness, not wisdom, as we're seeing God wants us to walk wisely and carefully. And the contrast is to be filled not with an alcoholic beverage, but rather to be filled with the Spirit of the living God, God the Holy Spirit. And in being filled with Him, we are walking under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. And you know, all of us here this morning either know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior or we don't. You're in one of those two groups. Either you have been born again by the Spirit of God, by recognizing that God's Word says we're all sinners, we're all separated from God because of our sin. And either you've realized or you have not that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, died for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day and was seen. And either you have or have not realized, according to the Word of God, that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him, that you will be saved. And so you've either received the Lord Jesus or you have not. And if you've received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, then the Holy Spirit of God has come to live in you. And He will not leave. He promises that. But Him being there and Him controlling your life are often two different things. In other words, He can have residence in your life, but your influence may be primarily not from Him, but otherwise. Now, maybe your influence is not that of alcohol, Maybe that is a struggle with you. Alcohol, drugs can be an influence on people's lives, not only while they're under the influence, but even in determining how they spend their time and what their goals are in life. But there are many other things that can influence us from this world, not only alcohol or drugs. It can be possessions. Material things can be a major influence in our lives and directing how we walk. It could be a sense of power in some area of life. It could be a desire for comfort, a longing to have fun. It may be a drive to be safe. Any of these things can become the predominant driving influence in our lives. It could be a number of other things. But God says, don't be influenced by these things primarily, but rather the Spirit of God needs to be your influence. And why would somebody choose a certain thing to influence them? Well, it's interesting, you look at wine. Why would somebody choose to have themselves controlled by an alcoholic beverage? Well, there could be a number of reasons. One, they may like the way it tastes, and so they're drawn to it like someone else is drawn to a soft drink or a glass of iced tea or a glass of water. They're drawn to that and they drink it, and they drink too much. They like the taste. Well, the Lord would say, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, don't be drunk with wine, but rather be filled with the Spirit. You know, the Lord has said, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And desire the filling of the Holy Spirit, the control of the Holy Spirit in your life, because of the wonderful taste, spiritually speaking, of knowing the Lord Jesus and walking with Him and fellowshipping with Him. It tastes wonderful. The Word of God says about itself that it's sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Well, some people drink wine not because it tastes that good to them, but because they like the effect of the wine. It numbs them, or affects them in some other way, or loosens them up, or whatever. And they're drawn to it because there's a desired effect, and they're drinking the alcohol in order to change the way that they see things and to change the way that they feel. And God says, don't do that. Don't do that. And we could plug other things, as we've already seen, into that equation, and the Lord would say, don't do that. Don't have your influence, your control, be from the things of this world. Rather, be filled with the Holy Spirit to be controlled by Him. And when someone drinks alcohol, their reflexes, how they respond, are affected. And you know, when the Spirit of God controls your life, it affects how you respond and how you react to the things around you. You may have heard the illustration, and I'll use it like this. Let's say that in this hand I've got a glass of water, and in this glass I've got it's filled with Bojangles iced tea. All right. As I'm bringing the Bojangles tea to you, I'm going to drink the water. I'm going to be healthy. All right. So I'm going to bring it to you, but I'm walking along, and as I walk along, somebody bumps into me. And something comes out of both of them. What comes out of them? Well, out of the water glass comes water, and out of the tea glass comes tea. You see, when you get bumped, whatever the glass is filled with is going to come out. The same thing is true with the Holy Spirit. If we are filled with the Spirit of God, if He is controlling our lives, when something bumps into us in life, what's going to come out? What's going to be our reaction? What's going to be our natural reflex response? It's going to be the things of God. You know, the person who is under the influence of alcohol has their perception of their surroundings affected. The same thing is true in a positive way when the Spirit of God is directing your life and controlling your life. You begin to see things from God's perspective. When someone drinks alcohol, their normal abilities to do things are hampered. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, your abilities to do things for God, spiritually speaking, are enhanced. Don't be drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit. Some people, as they drink, their vision becomes blurred. As we are filled with the Spirit of God, our vision spiritually becomes clearer because He is the teacher. He shows us the Lord Jesus. He directs us into the Scriptures. Under the influence of an intoxicating beverage or under the influence of a drug, people's speech becomes slurred, and what they talk about is often changed. And as the Spirit of God fills our lives, it affects what we talk about and the way that we talk. If someone is seen driving down the road in an erratic fashion by the state trooper, he will likely pull them over and have them get out of their vehicle and see if they can walk a straight line. How is their walk affected? We're looking here at walking wisely, walking carefully. And to be filled with the Spirit of God, He enables us to walk in the path that God would have us to walk. And we find here, as Paul writes by the Spirit of God, that there are clear evidences of whether or not the Spirit of God is controlling our lives, whether we are filled with Him. One is the area of music. You see it in verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Music, an expression of emotions and convictions through the avenue of music. He says here that we're speaking to ourselves, speaking to one another through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, a variety of types of music. And he also talks about singing and playing music in our hearts to God. You might say, I can't sing a lick. I can only hit one note and it's the wrong one in most songs. But in your heart, you are able, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and the Spirit of God is filling your life, you are able to make music in your heart to God. And that can even come out of your mouth. And to the ears of God, it's beautiful if it's being influenced by the Spirit of God. But you know, it's possible to sing the words of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and it not be influenced by the Spirit of God. You might look back to the songs we sang this morning, and you might stop and think, as I sang those songs, were those words and was that music an overflow of my heart, filled with the Spirit of God, or was I just mouthing some words and going along with a tune? We need to examine our singing, because you know, the world in which we live, the world system, Satan's behind it, in our own flesh, the world and the flesh love music too. Music is not only for the people of God, but the people of God, when we sing, we should sing, whether it be in our hearts or whether it be audibly. It should be controlled by the Spirit of God. It should be an overflow. Those who are drunk with wine sing. In Psalm 69 in verse 12, prophetically of the Lord Jesus, He could say, they that sat in the gate speak against Me, and I was the song of the drunkards. Those who were drunk sing. But those who are filled with the Spirit of God should sing. And we might step back and say, what is it that I'm singing? What is the song of my heart? The psalmist said, you have put a new song in my heart, even praise to our God. For the songs that I sing during the week, do they bring honor to God, or are they from the perspective of God? How am I singing? How am I singing? Am I singing influenced by my flesh? Am I singing influenced by the world system? Am I singing influenced by the Spirit of God filling my life? Why am I singing? Am I singing because I know the Lord Jesus as my Savior? I know that I have a home in heaven. I know I have a purpose in this life. I know that my sins are forgiven. I know that there is a reality of a relationship between God who created me and me. And that fills my heart and my mind and my life. And as a result, I sing. I sing. Even when I'm sad, I sing. The song may be a song of sadness. You go to the Psalms and you find some sad songs there. But they're still expressions of a recognition of God. And maybe even examine where you're singing. I'm not talking about geographically as much as are you singing from your heart. Look with me quickly. Hold your place here and go over to Colossians chapter 3. You've likely seen this parallel before, but maybe you haven't, or maybe it'll be good to be reminded of it. But we think about the Spirit of God filling us, and the result of that being an overflow of singing. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, and what our brother has just shared with us about the Word of God abiding in us. Look at the result of that, verse 16 of Colossians 3. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And here we have the picture of the Word of God dwelling in the believer in an abundant way. And the Word of God dwelling in the believer, the individual taking in the Scriptures and meditating on the Word of God and examining what the Word of God means and how it applies to life. What's the effect of that? Well, one of the effects of that is psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. In other words, the filling of the Spirit of God is parallel to the indwelling of the Word of God in the life. And if I'm not in the Word of God, and the Word of God is not in me, and the Word of God is not at home in my heart and in my mind and in my life, I'm not going to be evidencing the fullness of God, the Holy Spirit. They go hand in hand. The Spirit of God controlling my life and the Word of God dwelling in me, they go hand in hand. We see the results being the same. So we see that music is one area, but back in Ephesians chapter 5, we see a second area where this filling, this control, this influence of the Spirit of God on our lives is seen, and it's the area of gratitude. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the action there, giving thanks. Previously under music, we had the actions of singing and making music in our hearts to the Lord. And now we find ourselves controlled by the Spirit of God, influenced by Him as He fills our lives, giving thanks to Him. Notice when we are to give thanks. Always on the fourth Thursday of every November. Now, we know better than that. It's not just at Thanksgiving time, is it? No, we know it's every day for the believer, but it goes even deeper than that. Giving thanks always. We should always have an attitude of gratitude to God for all things. For all things. You know, over in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we read words that are often quoted, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In other words, in every situation. But here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, when we are controlled by the Spirit of God, when He has filled us and is influencing us, then we are able to not only be thankful in everything, that's hard enough, to find out you have cancer and to be thankful in that situation. To have someone hurt you deeply and in that relationship, to be thankful. To lose your job and in that circumstance, to be thankful. But we find here that controlled by the Spirit of God, we are actually to be thankful for those things. To be for those things. You know, we need to be aware, and it's tough enough for us to be aware of the need to be appreciative of what is obviously good. We're not to neglect to give thanks. We're thinking here in the book of Ephesians about the spiritual blessings and those positive things that come into our lives. Unfortunately, we don't even always remember to thank God for those. So we need to be aware of that, but beyond that, to be thankful for everything. Now, I may not know how or why I should be thankful for this particular thing, except for the fact that it's God's desire for me. And I'm going to have to thank Him for this circumstance, for this relationship, for this issue, for this problem. I might have to just thank Him for that in faith, knowing that He knows best and He has a purpose and He's somehow going to use it. And Lord, I don't know why, and I don't know how, and I don't know when, but Lord, thank You for this. You know, we can only do that as we're controlled by the Spirit of God. Only as the Word of Christ is dwelling richly in us and we are allowing the Spirit of God to be the primary influence in our lives rather than something in this world or in our own flesh. As we give thanks to God, notice there, and the Father. If He's your Father, you can be sure He's doing what's best for you. And if He allows this to happen, as terrible as it may be, you can recognize Him as the sovereign source. Recognize Him as Abba, Daddy. And trust Him in faith. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, believing that our Lord, who is in control, believing that He's going to work it out. You know, when I'm being influenced by my own flesh or by this world, I'm going to be unappreciative. Ungrateful. I'm going to take things for granted. I'm going to have an attitude of entitlement that I have a right to these things. I'm going to be discontented. And when things go badly, I'm going to resent and I'm going to be bitter and I'm going to complain and I'm going to accuse and I'm going to pout. And that is evidence of control, not of the Spirit, but of this world. We're to walk carefully and wisely. One final area here that we'll look at this morning in verse 21. And he uses this to introduce the section that's coming up that we'll look at next time. He says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. It's the area of humility. Humility. Submitting. Placing myself under someone else. We looked last Sunday night at 1 Peter chapter 5, and there, if you were with us, you remember that we thought about the Lord Jesus taking that servant's apron and putting it on. Because Peter is challenging his readers and us there in chapter 5 to submit to each other, to be humble, to be more concerned about others than we are about ourselves. I don't know that either of these two men are believers in the Lord Jesus. But something happened this week that you might have seen if you follow sports. I'm sure you saw it. But I think evidences humility and submission. It was in the world of baseball. And in Major League Baseball, there are about 2,400 games in the regular season every year. In Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball has been going on for over 100 years. At the end of every season, they have playoffs and the World Series, and you can imagine how many games that adds up to, multiplies to. In all of those games, in all of the 100 years of Major League Baseball, there have been 20 perfect games. A perfect game is when a pitcher pitches to 27 batters and none of those batters ever get to first base. Nobody gets a base on balls. Nobody gets on through an error of one of the defensive players. Nobody gets on from a base hit. Nobody ever reaches first base. Every batter strikes out, grounds out, or flies out. And that's the game. That's only been done 20 times in the history of Major League Baseball. This week, a pitcher, a fairly little-known pitcher, Armando Galarraga, was pitching for the Detroit Tigers, and he had faced 26 batters. None of them had gotten to first base. The 27th batter came up. The ball was hit to the infield. The pitcher ran over to cover first base. He caught the ball. It was very close, like often they are. The first base umpire said, safe. The next batter came up. He got out. The game was over. A one-hitter, a shutout. Very impressive, but not a perfect game. The first base umpire goes to the clubhouse, looks at the replay, and he said, I missed it. The man was out. But you know what? In Major League Baseball, there's no instant replay. There's no change. The man was safe. Armando Galarraga had a chance. He had pitched a perfect game, but he didn't get credit for a perfect game. Jim Joyce, the Major League umpire, went out and found the pitcher. And he apologized. And he cried. And the next game, when Jim Joyce was the home plate umpire, the manager of the Tigers gave the lineup card to Armando Galarraga, and he took it out there to hand it to the umpire. And he told him it was okay. And he understood. And everybody makes mistakes. And the umpire cried, standing out there on the field. Those two men, evidence for us, again, I'm not saying they were filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't have any idea if they're believers or not. But they evidenced what it means to put someone else ahead of themselves. That umpire could have denied it till the day he died, but he was willing to say, I was wrong, I'm sorry. That pitcher could have held bitterness in his heart against that umpire, but he said, that's okay. Even though he had been robbed of what has rarely been done. What about us? Are we filled with the Spirit of God as believers in the Lord Jesus? What is our attitude toward others? Do we put them ahead of ourselves? That is an evidence of the Spirit of God controlling. Not pride, not expecting other people to serve me, not a self-centered attitude, but rather a respect for God that he says here in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, a reverence for God that enables me to put others ahead of myself. We're to walk in wisdom. We're to walk carefully with a sensitivity to God. A sensitivity to Him. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. We're going to close in prayer. I'm going to give you a moment to reflect on what the Spirit of God is saying to you. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, maybe you have claimed to, but maybe you know in the depths of your heart that you've never really received Him as Savior and you're on your way to hell. And you want to be saved today, you can do that. You can ask the Lord Jesus to forgive you of your sins based on His death and resurrection. Maybe you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, but you recognize that the Spirit of God is not the primary influence in your life. He's not controlling you. You can tell God right where you sit, Lord, I've sinned. Lord, I've not allowed You to direct my life. I've not truly allowed Your Holy Spirit to fill me. I've not been in the Word of God and allowed it to be in me like I should. And I want that to change. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. I want to be sensitive to You. I want to know Your direction for my life. I want to invest my life in the things of eternity. And I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to sing. I want the Holy Spirit to move my heart in music. I want to be thankful for every situation and for every relationship and even for every problem, even though they're difficult. I want to, in faith, thank You for them. And Lord, I want to be a humble person. I want to put other people ahead of myself. I want to think about their needs and their desires and their preferences. Rather than focusing on me, I want to focus on them. I'm going to give you just a moment to speak with the Lord, and I'll close. Father, we thank you for your patience, your long-suffering, your grace toward us. Father, we so often fail you, but we thank you that you love us no matter what we do. Father, we thank you that your love for us is not dependent on our behavior. Father, it's dependent on your Son, the Lord Jesus, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But Father, because we are so grateful for our salvation, we want to please you. We want to honor you. And Father, we want to appreciate and appropriate the spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ. Father, we recognize that we're not truly going to be able to do that when we're walking in our flesh, when we're walking according to this world. Father, we want to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. We want to be filled by Him. Father, show us those things that are getting in the way. Father, if there is bitterness there, if there is some sin there, Father, that's getting in the way, some habit, some relationship, some problem, some attitude towards you. Father, maybe it's a lack of being in your Word, or Father, maybe it's an issue of not letting your Word really be in us and change us and shape us. Father, whatever it might be, we pray that you would work and you would show that to us. Father, that we might truly walk in the Spirit. Father, we commend ourselves to you, thanking you again for the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for any who may not know you as Savior. We pray that today will be their day of salvation. We pray in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen.